Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. America is awash in pornography. That is not a new analysis, but it certainly is becoming more acute for many Americans, and especially those with children, and perhaps even especially, of all things, during the Christmas season. Why? Because one of the most interesting developments in the last couple of years, maybe even this year in particular, is the fact that companies are using explicitly, or at least what I would have to call explicitly, pornographic images, photographs, models, and all the rest to sell product for Christmas presents. What used to be available only on the back alley of some city or perhaps on the Las Vegas Strip is now becoming the standard fare in America's shopping malls. We're going to be talking about that issue, and I'm going to be particularly pressing in on this question. What are you doing as a family to deal with this honestly? And I sure hope that you're dealing with it. Because if you're just going to the mall and acting like this is just absolutely normal, then what you're doing is implying that this is just absolutely normal. We are watching a society redefining sex, redefining pornography, redefining the norm, and reassigning the consumer culture in a more pornographic direction. We're going to be talking about it today on the Albert Mohler Program. I'd love to know what you're seeing where you live, if this is something that you are observing in your shopping mall, in your circle, in your community. Give me a call at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. First, to review some issues in the news. Of course, our hearts and minds are very much directed towards Colorado. We're in Arvada, Colorado, and in Colorado Springs, there are families grieving the death. Four deaths we now know. An early morning attack on Sunday morning in Arvada, Colorado, at a headquarters of Youth with a Mission, an evangelical missions organization that sends people ranging from older teens all the way until people in their 70s for missionary service around the world. It turns out that the young man who has committed these crimes, and in the last 24 hours it has been determined by forensic evidence that it was the same shooter, so that the young man, 24 years old, who was shot to death in Colorado Springs at the New Life Community Church is the very same young man who committed the murders in the morning. Two killed in the morning. The young man's name is Matthew Murray, and it turns out that he had once been involved with Youth with a Mission, but due to unspecified health complications was unable to receive an assignment. Some dispute he had indicated by means of a letter that he was very upset with Youth for a Mission. It turns out that the tie with the New Life Community Church, just less than 100 miles away, but 12 hours apart in terms of the attack, is that this church has several ties with the missionary organization. Now, there are some very interesting developments just in the last several hours about this. First of all, the family of 24-year-old Matthew Murray, the shooter who was himself shot dead there in Colorado Springs, read a statement on behalf of Murray's parents saying this, and I quote, "Our family cannot express the magnitude of our grief for the victims and families of this tragedy." Went on and said, "On behalf of our family and our son, we ask for forgiveness. We cannot understand why this happened. We ask for prayers for the victims and their families." The family, by the way, in Colorado Springs is one family that is grieving the death of two young teenage daughters. Now, one of the interesting things that has emerged in the aftermath of this is some debate in the popular culture about what happened in Colorado Springs. The debate comes down to this. After all, this young man entered with a weapon, intending to kill, did kill two persons, but was himself killed by a volunteer professional security guard, a woman who was on duty at the church. And there have been several Americans, including some leading voices in the media, who all of a sudden have asked the question, "You mean there are security guards at church?" But I have in my hand here no less than three headline stories indicating that, of course, even as the megachurches have developed with very large crowds, in fact, crowds larger than in some shopping malls, according to the media, there has arisen also the need for security. It's often not visible, but it is there. And just last night, I was listening to some of the coverage of this in the media, and the interviewer asked the pastor of the New Life Community Church, "Are you telling me that you need security?" And fortunately, in a sane and level-handed level-headed, very sensible response, the pastor simply said, well, obviously. It turned out to be one of those questions that just affirms the reality in itself. Of course it is the case. In a fallen world, we shouldn't be surprised by this. But I'm surprised by the kind of media attention to this. The reality is that in this society, given the way things are, if you have any large crowd without crowd protection, you're simply not being responsible. And we should simply expect that churches, as well as other institutions, organizations, anything drawing a crowd will have responsible security. And it's very difficult to know what that is. I mean, just given the difficulty of knowing what the threat level is. Who at church on that Sunday morning would have assumed that that security guard would have anything eventful to do on that day? But it is a reminder to us that we do live in a fallen, dangerous world. Another aspect of this story is really catching my attention because it happens every time you have a tragedy like this, whether in Omaha, Nebraska the previous week, or in Colorado just on Sunday, or when you start looking at the unfolding of these stories, Virginia Tech and all the rest, you keep hearing this question. What does this tell us about humanity? Well, it doesn't tell us anything new. It doesn't tell us anything beyond what the Bible tells us in Genesis 3. It tells us, well, just to take what the prophet says, the heart of man is desperately wicked, says Jeremiah. Who can understand it? And that's certainly true. I mean, the reality is that there is evil lurking in human hearts. We should be thankful to God for his restraining grace that means that there are not more persons who would do such things. Now, obviously, not every sinner sins in this way. Now, you look at that and you say, well, that's something to be thankful for. Of course it is. That's a part of God's common grace, his restraining grace, that sinners are not totally given over to their sin. If we lived in a world in which every sinner was totally given over to his and her sin, we would all kill each other. That there would be nothing but one murderous rampage with all the violence and orgiastic sin that would be involved in such a thing. Let's be very thankful that doesn't happen. But let's be very honest with ourselves. It seems not to take much to tip some persons over into this kind of extreme violence. I think one of the worst things we can do as a society in response to this is act as if this makes sense. Is act as if we can find some kind of social pathology that's going to explain why this happened. Wean too early, wean too late, too little education, too much pressure. You start looking at all this, too much money, too little money. The reality is, if you look at these people involved in this kind of crime, you'll find rich and poor. You'll find persons who came from intact families, people who came from divided families, as we saw in the very tragic case in Omaha, Nebraska. This is just a demonstration to us. Even looking at what happened in Colorado, it looks like this was a homeschooled young man from a Christian home. The reality is that evil is close to us. And even as we're thinking of the Christmas season, the coming of Jesus Christ, and light coming into a world of darkness, it is a reminder to us of why we must be very, very honest and understanding the true nature of human sin. We do pray for these families, of course, in Colorado, as well as those still grieving in Nebraska. And we grieve for all those who grieve, not only in this season, but at any time of the year. Very, very interesting development in Great Britain. Richard Dawkins, perhaps the world's most famous atheist right now, author of the best-selling book, The God Delusion. He is out in the British media saying that he considers himself a cultural Christian. Now, you're scratching your head wondering what all that's about. Well, this is what it's about. He is obviously responding to some kind of public pressure here. And in a almost fully secularized Great Britain, he says it's perfectly all right to sing the Christmas carols, you know, more or less, so long as you don't believe they're actually true. In other words, if it's just a part of your cultural celebration, then there's nothing harmful about it. It's relatively harmless. Now, folks, I want you to pay heed to this and really look at it, because it does explain something that's going on in postmodern culture. You can have the songs, you can have the forms and structures, you can even have the liturgy. You know, I was asked the other day why liberals who no longer believe in God or in the scripture stay in churches. You know, why do they still want to wear the vestments and have the titles and do all this stuff? It's because in a postmodern culture, a postmodern worldview, you can have it all. You can have all the smells and bells, as they say in the liturgical churches. You can have the stained glass windows. You can have the cultural levels of respect and all the rest, but you don't have to believe in God. Richard Dawkins, of course, does not believe in God. He believes that belief in God is a dangerous thing. He believes that parents should not be able to inculcate even religious knowledge and belief in their children. But he says he's going to be singing carols along with everybody else. Well, there you have it. That is pretty much a parable of postmodernism right there for you to see. If Richard Dawkins can sing the Christmas carols along with everybody else, then he's the one who's being intellectually dishonest, because he's telling us right up front he doesn't believe a word he's singing. We'll be back to talk about what's happening in the culture. We're going to be looking at an article that suggests that we're not dealing just with our grandfather's pornography anymore. It's gone mainstream. It's in the culture. It's in the mall. It's in your face. It's on the agenda for our conversation today. Call me at 877-893-TALK, coast to coast and with listeners around the world. This is the Albert Mueller Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mueller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 877-8-GOLD-101.
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. Jason Biasi, writing in the latest edition of First Things, a major Christian intellectual journal, has written an article entitled Not Your Father's Pornography. I want you to listen just a little bit of what he has to say here. Listen to this. We are so awash in pornography these days that most of us don't recognize it anymore. Of Internet users in the United States, 40% visit porn sites at least once a month. The number rises to more than 70% when the audience is men aged 18 to 34. The Internet has long been a driving force for the porn industry, pushing the bounds of access speed, streaming downloads, and file sharing. Now the cell phone industry hopes porn will do for it what it has done for the web, make it very, very rich. The pornography industry brings in between $10 and $20 billion in the United States alone and around $60 billion worldwide. That's more than all professional sports. It's three times more than Google, Yahoo, and MSN make in a year combined. But if you don't go for the numbers, try this experiment, he suggests. Unplug. Don't look at the internet, television, or even print ads for a few days. As soon as you plug back in, you'll see it again. Skin everywhere. Porn is now mainstream. A few other things from this article I think you'll find of interest. Writing about children, he says this, where they're going to get their sex education? Probably they're going to get their education from the internet. One survey suggests that 90%, that's 9 out of 10, 6 to 18-year-olds have viewed pornography online. The average age of one's first exposure to web porn is 11. By the way, another survey, another report's indicated in here, in which America's college students, college young men, are saying that they don't even consider Playboy to be pornography anymore because it's too mild. One of the most interesting things out of this, and what caught my attention today, is people saying, what need have you of Playboy if you can simply go to the mall? You know, why pay for what is now considered by some people mild pornography if you can get the same kind of images for free at the mall? Another interesting thing going on here, by the way, half of all persons who stay in a hotel room buy pornography during that process. One half. It's now become a major cost income center for the lodging business. Now, one of the most interesting aspects of Jason Biasi's article is that he writes about America's families being robbed of what he calls freedom. He says, we are not free now not to experience pornography. Not if you're going to be involved in this society, not if you're going to go to the mall. This is what he says. He says, the omnipresence of pornography eclipses any sort of recognizable freedom. I don't think I've ever seen that argument before. It immediately caught my attention because it's true. We tend to think we are free to make a decision that we're not going to allow pornography into our lives or into the lives of our children. But as Mr. Biasi suggests, we're lying to ourselves. If we're not having our eyes wide open to what's going on, not only on the internet, not only in terms of X-rated movies, not only in the pornographic magazines that we all recognize as pornographic, but in the mall. Now, here in Louisville, Kentucky, we have several malls, two very close to each other, both with a lot of upscale retail and all the rest, and one of them now has, right in the very front of the mall, a giant Victoria's Secret store. And I mean giant. As a matter of fact, it made the business pages of the newspaper, indicating that a more traditional clothing store, very large store, had given way to Victoria's Secret because of bounding sales. And let me just tell you, if you go in the mall and you look at the wording, the imaging, and the kind of impact you get by just even walking in front of that store, you'll understand exactly what Jason Biasi is talking about when he says you've lost your freedom not to confront porn. And let's face it, you look in that mall, as I did just in the last couple of days, and just look at all the children walking by there. I was just struck by this. You have all these children. You have families coming out for the kind of Christmas celebration, Christmas buying, you know, trip to the mall. Americans spend several hours a week involved in the retail economy, and on average, several hours a month in the mall, and we're walking by this stuff. And here's my question. Do you even see it anymore? Does it shock you anymore? Does it trouble you that that what used to be hidden away in some department in a department store where it was called literally, and I'm not kidding you, when I was growing up, that entire product line of lingerie was often referred to as unmentionables. I mean, that now seems so quaint, it's almost as if Fred and Wilma Flintstone would be back in that era. Unmentionables. Now, unmentionable? Now it's shouted. It's right there in your face when you walk in the mall. I'd love to hear what you as Christians, what you as parents in particular, are thinking and doing about this. I mean, if you're walking through the mall with a 15-year-old boy, I mean, you're basically bringing him into a society that that is openly pornographic. And you say, well, then I won't take him to the mall. Well, then don't take him to the football game, and don't take him to school in all too many schools. And tragically, don't take him to church in all too many churches where you have immodest dress, which is simply being filtered down from the general direction of the society. The phone number to join the conversation is 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I'd love to hear you join the discussion, and I'm going to throw something else out here because it is germane to this conversation. It used to be that these unmentionables were literally unmentionable. As a matter of fact, I can't imagine when I was growing up that as the family's unwrapping gifts, that I would have seen, for instance, my mother unwrap a gift like that from my father. Would it have been inappropriate for him to have given her some you know, lingerie or something? Of course not. But opened up in front of the kids? I mean, it was, well, unmentionable. That just wouldn't have been done. Now, and I kid you not, I just the other day heard about a dad who took his college-age son with him to do some Christmas shopping for mom in one of these stores. And I heard that, and I just thought, you know, not in my lifetime, either as the son or the father, is that going to take place? You know, this is now in the name of openness, but we're way past openness. We're now, well, I think Jason Biasi has it exactly right. We've just simply lost our freedom not to see this stuff. We've lost our freedom, not losing our freedom not to go to internet porn. We haven't lost our freedom not to to rent, you know, triple X movies. We haven't lost that. We've lost the ability to walk in this culture without seeing the omnipresent pornography all around us. The phone number is 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Why is it that at Christmas, all of a sudden now, it seems to be exploding around us? Well, it has to tell us something about what those selling these products think is their opportunity at this time of the year. Let's go to Gail calling from Dayton, Ohio. Go ahead, Gail.
Hi. I totally agree with what you're saying, that we have lost our choice. And I think we don't realize how teenagers, parents of teenagers don't realize how they've been exposed very early on through retailers such as Abercrombie and Fitch, and who is also the same guy that owns Victoria's Secret, Bath & Body Works, Limited. That, the owner of all those stores has introduced this generation of teenagers to porn on a level that we will probably never see go beyond what it is because it's so pervasive. And as a parent of a teenager, I do not shop there, refuse to spend my money there, or let my children spend money at any of those stores because of the exposure to porn that is just so overt in those retail stores.
Gail, you're very articulate. Let me ask this very quickly as we're getting ready to go into a break. What happens when you just walk by the store with your teenager in the mall?
I'm completely appalled. We honestly don't go to the mall very much, but when we do go by there... I have conversation with my kids about that and talk to them about how this man has exposed this generation of teenagers and made porn a norm.
Yeah.
And it's so grievous to me as a parent, and as a parent who's raised my children in a very wholesome and pure environment and kept my kids
wonderful words, Gail. Sorry, we got to go into this break. We'll be right back with your calls.
We'll be right back. You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
I really was struck by Jason Bayersee's article that his argument that we've lost our freedom not to be confronted by pornographic images, because in this culture we simply allowed it to go mainstream in advertising. It's not only stores like Victoria's Secret, although it is certainly stores like Victoria's Secret and Abercrombie and Fitch that put this stuff right out in front of you, but it's also now major department stores, because what happens is all of this filters into the mass consumer economy. And before you know it, your average department store has the same kind of stuff. Maybe not right in the front, but by the time you walk through the store, you've pretty much seen it all. The phone number to join the conversation is 877-893-TALK. That's 877-893-8255. Let's go to Phoenix, Arizona, where David's listening on XM 170. Go ahead, David.
Hi, Dr. Mohler. I have an 8-year-old grandson that will spend whole summers with my wife and I. And when we confront these types of things, whether it's driving down the road or at the mall or wherever it might be, we explain to him that this is not acceptable. And if he comes across something like that, he can actually leave. He doesn't have to stay at these stores or shop at these places, but just get out. And we, we don't go to restaurants where they have this kind of stuff or anything. And it's avoidable, and we just explain that to him. And this is a kid that grew up in Las Vegas. He spent 8 years in Las Vegas. It's horrible there.
Yeah, now, David, I want to make sure I understand what you're saying here. When you say it's avoidable, I can understand not going to certain restaurants or certain stores, but, I mean, if I followed you correctly, say that when you do see this stuff, you explain it's not acceptable. But, I mean, even you can't keep, if I understand you correctly, an 8-year-old from seeing at least some of this stuff.
Well, you can't, but you can explain to him how he doesn't have to look at it. He doesn't have to tolerate it, and he doesn't have to examine it. He can just leave it alone and go the other way, turn a different way, because it's not something he needs.
Well, I think it's great you're talking to him about it explicitly. I think it's also just tragic you have to. But you do have to. You're doing obviously the right thing. But I'm just thinking back when I was 8 years old, no one had to tell me anything about those kinds of images because I never saw them. They simply weren't there. They were unmentionables. An 8-year-old boy's worst nightmare when I was growing up is that you're alone with mom and she's got to pick something like that up, and the next thing you know, you're sitting in a department with your hands over your eyes because you don't want to see this kind of stuff. It's just not mentionable. Now it's shouted everywhere. Thanks for your call, David. Let's go to Provo, Utah, where Dale's on the line, also listening on XM 170. Go ahead, Dale.
Hello there, Al. I appreciate your service, by the way. I would like to interject one thing. Not only you are right with everything you're saying, but not only are you seeing pornography everywhere, but you're seeing it worn by people. You see it more and more often, these unmentionables that you're talking about. Women are wearing these things. And not only do you see it, but it's walking around you. And I just don't understand why people will allow themselves to be dressed like that. You see sometimes, like in the mall, these women are wearing what we used to call negligees. And it's out in public, and it's for everybody to see. And I just don't understand it either,
Yeah, Dale, I know exactly what you mean, and my wife Mary and I talk about this all the time because it's amazing. We're with a crowd here, a crowd there, even including people you just wouldn't expect would do this, and the next thing you know, you're saying, wow, I can't believe she was wearing that, or, I wonder if she had any idea, what she was doing wearing that. And, of course, I am talking primarily she. Let's be very, very clear here. Pornography, visual pornography, is largely a male enticement. It is largely because males are sexually stimulated visually and so easily in ways that marketers and pornographers well understand. It's not to say that women are not susceptible to this, but it's a much different kind of susceptibility. And yet what you have here is an entire coarsening, pornographication, and sexualization of the entire culture. It makes it far more dangerous for both men and women, morally dangerous. Much more morally dangerous for both men and women. It debases femininity by turning women into sex objects. And, of course, let me tell you one concrete example of the problem. The pornography industry faces a real challenge right now. They have to keep transgressing boundaries in order to keep a market. In other words, if no one has to pay to see what's now in the mall, then what they'll pay for is something, well, more explicit. And once that becomes the baseline, something even more explicit. And once that becomes the baseline, something even more explicit. And you know, eventually you run out of creative ideas. That's one of the major problems for the pornography business. It's also an indictment of the entire culture. And it reminds us that we often grow so numb to this that we don't see what's right in front of us. We don't see what's right in front of our children. To join the conversation, call 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. I happened to see this article, and I was so struck by Jason Biasi's argument that what we have done in this society is to rob ourselves of our freedom, our family's freedom, our children's freedom, not to see this. Right back with your calls. This is Albert Mohler.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 877-8-GOLD-101.
Jason Biasi argues that we have lost our freedom not to be confronted by pornography. Fascinating, isn't it, that in the name of freedom, allowing all these things, we actually lose our freedom. There's something deeply biblical about that insight, that in demanding freedom, you actually lose freedom. Now we're losing the freedom not to be confronted by this stuff. The phone number, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. It is fascinating, to put it mildly, to walk through the mall and see how the advertising has changed, how boundaries have been transgressed, how a new norm is becoming settled in the society, a norm that is, I think by any definition, pornographic. The root word of pornography in the Greek, porneia, refers to that which incites illicit passions. In other words, it's a visual that excites sexual interest where there is no valid sexual interest, where it's a sinful sexual interest. That's the whole essence of pornography. The phone number is 877-893-8255. Let's go to Martinez, California. Carrie's waiting on the line. Go ahead, Carrie.
I was in Walmart the other day, and they had thong underwear for little girls in the little girls department. I just thought it was absurd.
You know, I think, Carrie, absurd's a good word for that, frankly. Tragic, shocking, humbling for a culture. Yeah, dangerous for children. I mean, let's face it. What kind of underwear do little girls need? Underwear that covers them, that allows them to wear their clothes on top of it. That's about the extent of it. Comfortable, safe, hygienic, that's about it. I can't imagine a society admitting that we would market more sexually explicit lingerie to young children. I mean, we're just admitted that on radio. That's what we're doing. We just admitted that we're all tolerating this. We just admitted just right now that this is something we live with because we are living with it. Let's face it. Even if you're not buying it and bringing it home for your children, and I hope you're not, it's out there. And that's the society we live in. We shop in. We buy in. Merry Christmas. Let's go to Dayton, Texas, where Alexandra's on the line, listening on XM170. Go ahead, Alexandra.
Mr. Mohler, good afternoon. One thing that I find even more disturbing than seeing these images and the clothing on people out in the world is the fact that you see these same things on Sunday morning worship. We see, you know, children 8 years old, 9 years old, up to women who are in their 40s and 50s wearing tight, inappropriate clothing to church, and I find that very, very disturbing.
Now, Alexandra, let me ask you a question. Number one, I see the same thing. As I said, my wife, Mary, is often, noticing the same thing. I know that others are noticing it, too. Why, then, are we not talking about it? Why are we not confronting it?
You know, and I don't know. I think that an entire generation of women has lost the concept of biblical modesty, and I think that churches should, teach classes, instruct our young women and older women and what it means to dress in the biblical way, so we're not tempting our brothers in Christ.
Yeah, that's a very sensitive and insightful statement, Alexandra, and I appreciate that, and I think you're exactly right. I want to argue that I think we don't talk about this in the local church because we're afraid we might hurt someone's feelings. Also, because we've kind of bought into this idea of individual autonomy, this zone of privacy. You know, I have a right to dress as I want to dress. Well, you know, one of the things we need to recognize as Christians is that we basically forfeit, as Christians, our right to do what we think is right. And we're not being faithful to Christ and bringing honor to the gospel unless we do what our brothers and sisters in Christ believe is right, certainly in that kind of setting. Very troubling development, Alexandra. I really appreciate that. And I want to go back and say, I think also you're exactly right that what happens is that the culture establishes a baseline. And I know an awful lot of women, younger women and older women, who would never do anything intentionally they believe would cause a brother to stumble. They would never wear this if they thought, I'm going to be tripping up some young man. I'm going to be sending the wrong signal. I don't think they think about it. And I think that's part of the problem. And I think it's also indicative of the disease that now infects the entire society. If you don't think about it, you just become a part of the problem. By the way, let me offer a material that might be of assistance to you, I believe would be in this. My wife, Mary, has written a little booklet entitled Modeling Modesty. It's found at my website at albertmuller.com. And we'll put a link for today's program so you can download for free a copy of that that program as well. I'm working now on a similar kind of work for boys and young men. Obviously not exactly the same kind of challenge, but then again, yeah, a challenge in order to send the right signal rather than the wrong signal, even by the way that we dress. There's still time for you to join the conversation by calling 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. I want to return to a minute to some statistics because I have found that it helps sometimes to repeat these. Hearing it once may catch your attention. Hearing it twice may help you to remember exactly what's being said here. Let me go back to this again. You're talking about 9 out of 10 children. 9 out of 10 children who are suggesting that they have viewed pornography online. The average age of one's first exposure to web porn is 11. If you're not shocked by that, I don't know what'll shock you. I mean, maybe you have an 11-year-old and you already know this. But I think there are an awful lot of Christian parents who say, my son's never seen anything like that. He's 14, and he's not dealing with anything like that. And you're fooling yourself. I hope you have all the protections in place, but let me tell you, if he's in a public library, this is something that's shocking to people. Given recent court decisions, public libraries, in most cases, are forbidden from filtering pornographic material where they have web access. So if your kid's walking behind someone who's looking at this, then he's seeing it. You know, you can say, well, you know, I would never allow that in my house. I have full accountability to the Internet. I hope you do. Don't allow, you know, an Internet-connected computer in your child's bedroom. Don't allow any number of things that might allow, you know, someone to develop this kind of habit and this kind of experience. But don't assume as parents. I mean, even if you're listening to this radio program, that tells me right away you're not living in some kind of cave somewhere. You aren't connected to the culture in some way. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you can offer absolute protection from everything your child might see. And that's really what Jason Biasi is arguing. He's arguing that we've lost the freedom to keep that entirely out. This does represent a new challenge for Christian parents. It represents a new challenge for Christian churches and for Christian young men and women. I'm going to suggest this is a conversation that needs to continue, and I'll be back with some final thoughts in just a moment, coast to coast and with listeners all over the world. This is the Albert Mueller Program. I think it is oddly appropriate, given the timing, that Jason Biasi's article entitled Not Your Father's Pornography, found in the current issue of First Things, just arrived today. I think it's oddly appropriate that it arrived here just before the Christmas holiday and right in the middle of the Christmas buying frenzy. After reciting the numbers related to pornography, he says this: if you don't go for numbers, try this experiment. Unplug. Don't look at the internet, television, or even print ads for a few days. As soon as you plug back in, you'll see it again. Skin everywhere. Porn is now mainstream. The most fascinating part of his article is where he suggests, and I quote again, the omnipresence of pornography eclipses any sort of recognizable freedom. You know, that's the way it is for human beings. We demand freedom, and what we get is no freedom at all. It just goes back to sin. Before the fall, Adam and Eve were not able to sin. They were able to sin, but they didn't sin after the fall because of Adam's guilt imputed to us. We are now not able not to sin. And that's why we look forward to our glorification, when we will be not able to sin. But in the meantime, we do struggle with this, and we realize that the essence of a lot of the sin is freedom. It was Adam and Eve eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that was the very occurrence of the fall. Now we're not free not to know evil anymore. We're not free not to be confronted with these moral challenges anymore. And given the ubiquity of pornography in our society, we're not free even not to see it anymore. A couple of points here. We are certainly still, however, responsible for how we engage the culture, for how we use the internet, and for all the rest. This is no excuse for saying, hey, we can't avoid pornography, so let's just enjoy it. Let's just kind of rationalize the use of it. You know, we need to be very clear that that is nothing more than giving oneself over to sin. We also need to recognize that we as parents can't protect our children completely. It would be naive to think that we can just walk with our children through life with our hands over their eyes and over their ears. But on the other hand, we as parents do have an enormous area of parental authority and parental choice in which we can and must exercise our parental prerogative to make certain that we do decide where our children go. We do decide what our children buy. We do experience by our constant conversation with our children the fact that we're making sure they understand what our expectations are. They understand what God's expectations are as revealed in Scripture, and they know that we will hold ourselves and them to it. This is a good conversation. What happens when you demand freedom and thus lose it? We'll be back tomorrow for Ask Anything Wednesday. It's your opportunity to set the agenda. We'll talk about what's on your mind. There's still time for you to write us with a question. Just write mail@albertmohler.com. Back tomorrow for Intelligent Christian Conversation. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.